First thing first, I want to thank you all for the beautiful scene. Oh, please.
Thank you. You were the best speech.
Fantastic show. All the speakers were good. It was a beautiful scene. I have very, very positive memories, very beautiful memories, and we should be zeichet to make more siyumim together. Okay, let us begin. We are up to Perek Tes. Okay, the microphone is still in the other room, so we'll have to wait for that. I'll try to raise my voice. I know. When they finish, I know. Rabbi Einemer is giving a shir. Okay, we're up to Perek Tes. We're up to Pasuk Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Ish, again, Perek Tes, Pasuk Gimel. Ish meri'eyu hishameru. The al kol och al tiftachu. Each man, now this is a frightening revelation. Yirmiyah is telling us what the situation is at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. There is no trust. There is no trust among men. Each man is on guard from his fellow man. The al kolach al tiftachu. You guard yourself. That's, I guess, you're on defense. The person is in a constant state of defense. Someone is always trying to rip me off. Number two. V'al kolach al tiftachu. I don't trust. Besides that you're always on defense, someone should rip me off, someone's always trying to attack and steal, I do not have confidence in lending a person money, in going out of my way to support someone, to help someone. I'm not going to stop at my car on the side of the road to go and help someone change a flat tire because he'll kill me. Who knows what he'll do to me? He'll steal from me. So besides the fact I have to guard myself, I don't have faith in the other man. Ki kol och okov ya'akov. Every brother, over here we focus on the word brother. Even people who are your best friends, your relatives, there's absolutely no trust. Everyone is full of deceit. The chol rea and every friend, rachil yahaloch, is a gossip monger. A table bearer, in other words, like the famous expression, with friends like this, you don't need enemies. There's a very interesting book. There's a very interesting story from the Chofetz Chaim. I don't know. I remember I read this in the biography. There's a biography that was put out. It's not really a biography. It's really more of a sefer. It was translated by Art Scroll 25, 30 years ago on the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim lived during the time of the Great Depression. What year was the Great Depression? The Chofetz Chaim died 33. Chofetz Chaim was nifter in 1933. It was right before the Chofetz Chaim was nifter. This was the Great Depression. The Chofetz Chaim said, this is what it says in the book. If it's accurate, I don't know. He said the reason why the Great Depression happened was because the economy is built on trust. This is what Chofetz Chaim said. The Chofetz Chaim's analysis of economics is, I'm not an economist, I don't know, but in a healthy economy requires trust. You lend people money in order to build, in order to develop, to go forward, with confidence that the person to whom you lend money, when he succeeds, will pay you back, of course, with interest. Every healthy economy in society is built on trust. If there is no trust, the economy collapses. The root cause of a depression, a recession, or all of the various expressions that are used by economists to describe sluggishness in the market is all based upon a lack of faith in your fellow man. The Chofetz Chaim said that in his life he witnessed from the beginning of his life to the end of his life. We don't even know exactly how old the Chofetz Chaim was when he died. There's no real accurate record of how old he was. They say he was this, he was that. But they don't really know for sure. He says that he witnessed in his lifetime a steep decline of man having faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he was a young man, the average person, even a non-Jew, the average person, he looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'ayin Yovei Ezri Me'im Hashem Oisei Shamayim V'aretz. And through his life, he saw a deep, deep decline in a man's faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, therefore, it was Mida Keneged Mida. If Hashem says to man, if you will no longer have faith in me, choose not to have faith in me, midah keneged midah, I will cause that you will not have faith in your fellow man. In other words, people began to replace their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in faith in themselves and in faith in their fellow man. We can take care of ourselves. We don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam to solve our problems. Mida k'neged mida, you don't have faith in me. Hashem says, I will bring about a situation where man will not have faith in their fellow man. And what is the result? The result is a collapse of the economy. That was his take. His yisoid. Today, no one can talk like that today. Today, you know, Rav will get up today and talk to us and say the reason why there's a recession is because man has no faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, you'll say like, you know, what do you know? You know, are you the Ribbono Shel Olam? You can't talk. Chavos Chaim though can talk like that. Chavos Chaim. That's what he said. But here we have this pasuk. It's a very frightening pasuk describing the collapse of Yerushalayim. It was based on a lack of faith in man. And obviously, we can say that we can apply the same idea. The reason why there was a HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about the situation where there was a lack of faith in man, where one man did not have faith in his fellow man. Everyone was always on guard to protect themselves from harm, and that lack of faith in helping someone else is because Mida k'neged mida, man did not place their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were mavazin the Nevi'im, they abandoned the Torah, v'chulu v'chulu. So we have over here this parallel. Let's say, look at the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Beis. I'm sorry, Pasuk Gimel. Hishamei ruchayu nishmarim zem mizel bal higolos mistari levavo. People would protect themselves, would not reveal secrets. I told you, whatever, they just protected themselves. That means it's deeper, according to the Mitzudos. They would not reveal to their friends secrets. The al kol och, the al shum och, any brother, okovi akoiv yakoiv, the ave starko mul echov, each man was corrupt. Each man was deceitful, relating in his dealings with his fellow brother. Rachil yahalech medaber rechilus al re'eu. Each man would speak lashon hara. Rechilus is worse than lashon hara. Rechilus is where you say something in order to cause your friend should get back to your friend. And let's just leave it with that, a form of lashon hara. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Akov Yaakov, Orov Yarei, they lie in ambush. They're always looking for a good opportunity to rip someone off. Let's see the Radak, Pasuk Gimel. Ish, Mary Eyu, Akov Yaakov, there's a lot of this. A lot of the Radaks, unfortunately, I don't know a lot of these Radaks coming up in the next couple of Pesukim. The Radak gets heavily steeped in Diktuk. And unfortunately, I don't know the language. That he's using to explain these ideas, but we'll just do the best that we can. Ish ve'ir ish alkov ye'okev. Inyin hatarmis ve'cho arama. Alkov means deceit. K'mo v'yakveni zef hamayim. Esav said about Yaakov that he tricked me twice. Okay, v'okov ha'ayin b'shva. If you look in the pasuk where it says over here, alkov ya'akov. Yaakov, exactly. I violated what it said. The ayin is a shva. Okoiv Yaakov. Ayin has a shva. Levada v'chol shor Yaakov shum bar nosh. Ha ayin b'shva upatach. Generally, all other ayins, I'm not sure what it means by bar nosh, the word Yaakov has a chatav patach. Okay, a chatav patach means there's two dots plus a patach. A chat of patach is very hard for a Baal Kriya to differentiate when he lanes between a chat of patach and a regular patach. The only difference is a chat of patach, you say it much quicker, and it's supposed to sound like a shva noch, like Aharon. Aharon is the hay, that's the classic example, the hay under the vowel under the hay is a chatov patach. So how do you pronounce aharon? That's wrong. Aharon, I just pronounced the hay with a full patach. Aharon, that's wrong. If you swallow the hay, you just say aron. That's also wrong because you completely ignored the hay. So what do? You have to say the hay very quickly. Aharon. I can't do this. I'm not good at this all these different but Aharon, thank you very much. Aharon, you pronounce the hey, is it better now? Now you hear better? Aharon, you pronounce the hey very quickly. So when you pronounce it very quickly, it almost sounds like a shvo. Aharon. And that's what he's coming over here to explain over here, the word Yaakov. The word Yaakov always is a chatach chatach. Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu has a chatach chatach, but here it doesn't mean Yaakov Avinu. It's not a name, it's not a noun. It is an expression. It is, means deceit, and therefore the ayin here has a regular shva, so the ayin is almost swallowed away. Okay. Even though the ayin is, we don't pronounce the ayin the way we should pronounce the ayin. The ayin has a little sound to it. So we really need to get a speech therapist here to come and help us. Someone real koyach of chituch hadibur. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet begin. A Yankee?
Why do they call Yaakov as a nickname, Yankee?
Yankee, yeah.
Because the ayin, it has a little nun associated with it.
Yankee.
Yankee.
Okay. The briskers, the real briskers, Shma. What do they do? They say the ayin of Shma. All right, this is not something I have any grasp of. Let's go next. Pasuk Daled. Ish b'dehu yehoseilu. Now we come to the next concept. Now this is something that we see today, at least among the Goyim. Unfortunately, one man mocks his fellow man. Mocking. Unfortunately, we live outside now where the campaign, which is something which is the presidential campaign between the two parties, it's just unprecedented, the degree of the ish. Bireyehu yehoseilu. Each word that comes out of his mouth is Isha Lisha. Okay, obviously this is not a healthy situation. Certainly among Klal Yisrael, the ish bireyehu yehoseilu. When one man mocks his fellow man, the emes lo yedaberu. Emes is something which is doesn't exist. Limdu lishonam diber sheker. They teach their tongues. They actually, they train themselves. It's not natural. This is a very interesting concept. It is natural. It is human nature. This is something which I'm sure is discussed in the schools of psychology. Does a person have an inborn trait to speak the truth? Is speaking truth something you have to learn to do? What is a person naturally, what is natural to a human being? To speak the truth or to speak sheker? Here this pasuk indicates that it's natural for a person to speak emes. And here they have to go out of the bend, go against the grain, to train themselves to speak falsehood. The ish, the emes lo yidaber, limdu, they teach, they accustom themselves. Lishonam daber sheker, ha'avei nilu. Ha'avei nilu is a complex expression which simply means that they are tired from acting corruptly. Nilu means weary, tired. Have means sin. They work so hard on doing averos that they are physically drained. They are physically tired from doing averos.
This part,
they knock themselves out in their wickedness. In their wickedness. So over here you have a pasuk, a very frowning pasuk, which has expressed many ideas. There's leitzonis yehoseilu, mocking speech. Ms doesn't exist. They've trained themselves to speak falsehood, and they have tired themselves out through their evil. Let's see the Mitzudos David Pasuk Dalet. The ish, kol ish mehosel umalik bireil. Each man mocks his fellow man. Limdu. Limdu means hirgilu. They have a custom, es l'shoinim l'daber sheker ki masmidin bazeh. They are diligent. They are continuous in this conduct. Havei nilu, ki ilu nisiyagu l'avei starkom. It's as if they have exerted themselves to corrupt their ways. Ki harbe ivois osu. They have committed many crimes, many sins. V'hu'inyin melitzi. This is an expression. It's as if they've tired themselves out. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk Dalet have nilu. Yigu v'tarchu la'aves es darkam. They've toiled and exerted themselves to become corrupt. Have kamo hachbed es libo. And there, the Targum translates le ha'avos. We find this in reference to Paro. Paro acted unnaturally in choosing to harden his heart. And his natural inclination was to listen to Moshe, to let Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. However, he chose Hachbeid Eslibo Leha'avos to corrupt his way. Let's see the Radak, Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, the Ish Yehoselu, Men Maxis Fellow Men, Doge Shalamid, there is a dat in the Lamid. Litiferes Hakiria, the Radak says this, and this brings out the beauty of the sound of Ne HaHefsek, because after we say Yehoselu, we begin a new expression, Ve'emes Lo Yidaber. In order to be mafsik between the word Yehoselu and Ve'emes, the Lamed with the Dogesh, it adds more emphasis to the Lamed. Lindu L'shaynam Hergilu Kama Pera Limud Midbar. It's a very common word. Limud means mitzvahs anoshim milimuda. When you do a mitzvah by rote, you accustom yourself to do something without thinking. Here as well, it's in the Pera Limud Midbar, a wild donkey that is accustomed to wander in the desert. Here it's been used the same way. Heava. They've become tired from corrupting their ways and doing averos. Uvo al derech teunim hela. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what that means. So we'll leave it with that. Okay. Something similar that they've become corrupt. They've tired themselves out. They've tired themselves through their corruptness. Okay, now this pasuk is a very important chazal in this pasuk. This pasuk is the makor for a very, very powerful halacha with regard to chinuch habanim. Limdu l'shoinam daber sheker. Chazal said that a person should not ever tell a child that you're going to do something for him. You're going to give something to a child, and don't follow through with your promise. I told you this once, when I was a CIT, when I was a counselor in training, probably before you were all born. And I remember, you all know Rabbi Label Steinar, who davens here in the morning. I think he davens here. Well, Rabbi Label Steinar, so he ran Magen Avram. It was his camp. And he told us the number one rule in being a counselor is never threaten a camper with a threat that you cannot carry out. Because once they see that you are a liar, once they see that you're not serious, you threaten, you're going to take away your night activity or whatever, and you don't carry out your threat because you don't have the power to carry out such punishments, they will lose all respect for you and your authority will disappear, and you will have no control over your campers. So that rule is not just true with being with accounts, that's true as a chazal tell us that rule is true with regard to chinuch habanim. If a parent says to a child, promises, you're going to give him something, and you don't truly give it to him, you're going to violate this halacha. The chazal quote this pasuk, limdu l'shoinam daber sheker. You're teaching your children this pasuk. You're teaching them how to speak falsehood. They're going to imitate their parents. If their parent promises and does not keep his promises, that is what the children are going to learn, and you are in violation of this pasuk. I saw a very interesting the Chazal, I don't have all the details of where Chazal said this, but they take this halacha even a step further with regard to being mekayim mitzvos. For example, we have a principle. This comes from the Maharan. One of the Rishonim, Ra'avon, from the Ra'avon. He's one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, and it's his opinion, which is acceptable halacha, that you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of chinuch with an object that is not kosher for an adult. The classic example is if you want to buy for your children a set of dalid ninim. So why should I go and spend on a child $50 to buy a kosher lulav esrog? I'll buy a lemon. When you go into wherever you go, the Blue Ribbon, you go into Glockmar to buy your shopping for Yom Tif, you'll buy a couple of lemons and you'll give it to your 5-year-old. and you'll give him a pasul lulav, the same what they gave you in the store to make the rings for your lulav. You'll give him a pasul lulav. So the halacha is you have accomplished absolutely nothing. There is no inyan of chinuch habanim to give a child a mitzvah, an object that is not kosher. Okay, so we already know that. That's simple. But what happens if you give your child something which is 100% kosher, but there are still other halachic problems? For example, we know that on the first day of Sukkot, you have to give a child a lulav. The lulav of an eshek has to be lochem. Ulekachtem lochem bayom harishon priyesada. Let's say it's not yours, you're not yoitza. So we all know the halacha that you should not give on the first day of Sukkot, you should not give the child the lulav and esrog until you already have fulfilled your obligation, because you can give it to a person, a matana almanas lahachzir, but a child is not capable of lahachzir. So when it comes to an adult, you want to go give a lulav and esrog, you want to lend it to your friend so you can give it to them, you can say, I'm giving it to you, matana almanas lahachzir. He takes it for the moment, and he has no choice but to give back to you when he finishes using it. But a child cannot do that. So with regard to the last 6 days of Sukkot, it's not a problem, because you don't have to be mekayem the mitzvah on the minim which belong to you. So you can give it to him, and he won't give it back to you. And you will use basically what belongs to the child, because the child can be koine, but cannot be makne. But what about the first day? The first day you can't do that. Therefore, you have to be very careful, meticulous, that you are mekayim the mitzvah first, and then if you want to go give your dalet minim to the child, give it to him after you finish davening, after you finish your mitzvah. What happens? What?
First and second.
That's a shiloh. Can't really give him first. So let's say fine, the first and second in the chanani. So what? So here's the shiloh. What happens? What happens if you want to go give when you want to go give a little vinesha to a child? You want to give a little vineshuk to a child on the first day and fool him and say, hey, I'm giving it to you. He's a six-year-old. It's only din of chinuch. He's not mechuyim in the mitzvah deraisa. It's just chinuch. I'm giving him a kosher lulav and esrog, but secretly, it's a secret. Secretly, I'm not really giving it to him, because I realize if I give it to him, I'm not going to be able to take it back, and it's going to be matana al manas lahachzir. So what would you say in this situation? Bishlam, when you're giving him a lemon and you're giving him a baseball bat for your dalet minim, that Chazal tell us that you give that's not called chinuch. Chinuch has to be where the object is a kosher object which you yourself can be yotzei the mitzvah. It doesn't have to be mechudar, but it has to at least be kosher. But what about when the chesaron in the mitzvah is invisible? I'm giving you a quality lulav and esra, but I'm not giving it to you. You're going to be borrowing it. And when you're borrowing it, you're not going to be yotze, because it's not going to be lochem. And I'm going to lie to you. Here, take it for yourself. So Chazal employed this exact principle. That's how far it goes. Limdu l'shoinam daber sheker. Even to give a child a perfect set of dalet minim, but fool him into thinking that he is actually the Baal HaBayis, he's the owner, is also a violation of Lindu L'Shoinam Daber Sheker, because you may think that the child doesn't realize, but children are a lot smarter than you think. Children pick up on things that most adults would never pick up on, and they will ultimately sense that they have been fooled. They have been given a set of dalet minim that's not truly theirs. And that will trickle down into their pure neshamos of that there's something called lying. My parents lie. Obviously, it's not such a bad thing to do. My parents are respectable people in society, in the community, and therefore my parents lie to me. So you know what? I also will lie to my friends and my family when I get older. So that's how far Chazal take this halacha. Be extremely careful in not violating Limdu L'Shoinam Daber Sheker, even if the lie is 100% invisible. That's how far. Bishlam, the classic lie, you tell the child, I'm going to give you something. And there are different levels of lies. You tell a child that a stone is a piece of wood. I mean, that's off the charts. That you don't even have to discuss. It's a chiddush to say to a child, I'm going to buy you a toy next week, in 2 weeks. And you hope by the time 2-3 weeks come around, he'll forget about it already. He doesn't forget about it. He remembers very, very well. I then I had a relative who we were talking about safras. And I told him the story, and he was blown away. I said, when I was very little, I must have been then probably, I don't know, probably not more than 8 years old. And he told me he's coming, one of my relatives is coming, he's coming in from Chicago, from far away. And he's going to, what do I want? And I told him, I want you to get me the quill of a sefer, for a sefer Torah. I don't know why. I was into these things then. Okay, bring me the kulmus. I'm so curious to see how a sefer writes a sefer Torah. I want the kulmus of the sefer Torah. So he said, okay, fine, we'll get it from you. No problem. That's really cheap. You know, what does that cost already? So that's a really cheap present. And he came, and he didn't have it. And he said to me, don't worry, I'm going to get it for you. He has a relative in the building upstairs to get it for me. And he never got it for me. So I told this to him this year. I remember this story. I don't know how we got into this discussion. So he was blown away. He was blown away like, you remember that? You make me feel so bad. I promised to give something to you as a child. And obviously, listen, little kid, big deal. I get it, I don't get it. For the person, the child, it means a lot. And he was not true to his word. And here it is, so many years later, I still remember every little, I don't know what I did yesterday. That I can tell you. I have no clue what happened yesterday. But this I remember, what happened over here 100 years ago. This I remember. And that's a very powerful mussar. A child is very sensitive. A child can pick up on lies very quickly. Ad kidei kach, even when the lie is invisible, he'll pick up on it. Yeah.
Someone once said, don't ever let your children watch as if they're
occupied. Oy, oy. Okay, let's go further. Now let's go to the next pasuk. V'ish, now let's go to pasuk hey. Shivtecha b'sach mirma, you sit in the seat. B'sach mirma, b'mirma, b'mir kama. Bimirma through the seat, me'anu devar os da'as osin Hashem, and through this seat you refuse to know me, so says Hashem. Let's see pasuk in the Mitzudos David. Shitzchah b'soch mirma, written alemar, ha'mirma mekefes oischa misadiv. You are enveloped by the seat. Uche'ilu yevshul l'chalili, he parade b'minu as if it's impossible for you to escape. Uvalvor asakam b'mirma. Due to your dealings with Mirma, Mimanim Lodas Osikya Mirma Noyachlo Milodas Es Hashem, it's easier for a person to occupy himself in deceit than to know Hashem, to face reality. Rashi Pasik Hey Shivtuch Mirma Kishan Yeshim Khoshim Machshavas Mirma. When they sit, they think about the seed of the Mirma Hechalifu Yirasi. They have exchanged, good morning, they have exchanged my fear with Mirma, Umeanu Da'as Osi, and they refuse to know me. B'mirma b'shvil ha-mirma. Let's see the Radak, Pasuk Hei, Shivtcha Omar HaKel Yisparach, so says Hashem, Ma Yo'il Shivtcha B'soch Mirma, what benefit, what do you gain by sitting in Mirma, Kolema B'soch Am-Mirma, Shleitucha L'Hashivam Ilech. Okay, so over here, it appears the Radak, the Radak seems to be saying making something dirish. Maybe the Radak is learning that he's addressing Yirmiyah. Shivtecha b'soch mirma. Maybe I think Radak seems to be saying is that Hashem is speaking to Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, what benefit is this? What benefit is your job? Is your mission? Mayoyel, one more time, the words Mayoyel shivtecha b'soch mirma kolama b'soch am mirma. What benefit is there to you to sit in the nation of deceit? Shelay tuchal lahashiva melecha. You are unable to bring them close to you. They will not listen to your words of Musar. B'mirma kol kakolu b'mirma ad she'me'anu l'das osi. They are so heavily steeped in deceit, they are no longer able to know me. Lo yuchlo l'honich darkam hara'ah. They can no longer leave their evil ways. V'yonasam tir game. Let's just now, in fact, do the entire pasuk. Whenever you quote a targum, it's always kedai to look at the targum inside. So let's go to Pasuk Hey, Yosfin Bebeis Kinisht Kinishtehoin. This would seem to indicate in the Beis HaKnesses. It's not Muchach. Over here, you see, it's not Muchach. Over here,
where you and your...
The gathering places. But however, the Targum very often uses the word Beis Kinishton as the Beis HaKnesses. That would give it a lot more flavor. Here in this translation, I'm using this very often, this translation of the Targum, he doesn't say Beis HaKnesses. He chooses here to just basically your clubhouse. Right? They sit in their clubhouses and they focus on the seat. But if you take the word kinishtahoin, as it's used very often, very commonly in Nach, it has a whole different interpretation. Now what do they do in shul? Shul is a place to make trouble. Instead of coming to shul to daven, they use the tools that I've given them as a place to make trouble. Umishtoan, and they talk. Mishtoan means they discuss al yoshon. They talk about their sins. Binechilu misarvin, when they binechilu means in deceit. Binechilu means in deceit. Misarvin through their deceit. Misarvin lemeida dachalti. This is a word which the Targum very often adds into the pasuk. My fear. He adds the word dachalti mayira. Through their deceit, they refuse to know me. Targum always translates knowing me as fearing me, Yiras Hashem. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Now this part, yeah.
He's trying to say totally engulfed in Nirmal. You can't see Nirmal anymore. In other words, they use the Shiftachla. In the Nirmal, totally engulfed in Nirmal, you can't recognize Nirmal because it's totally around you.
Okay, that's true. You become part of the problem. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav is a frightening pasuk. L'chein koyem Hashem tzavokah silni tzarfam uvichantim. Two different expressions. Therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to purify them. We are borrowing from the marshal of purifying silver. Purifying precious metals. Uvichantim is to test them. Now, those are two very different concepts. I'm going to purify them, which means they're going to suffer. They're going to be put into a yisurim. Yisurim causes a person's nature to change. And then it says uvichantim. Chantim means to test. They're going to be given situations where they're going to exercise free will. And that exercise itself is a form of purification, of course, assuming that they make the right decision. He eich said, like Rachmanel son, time that goes reading now, just comes to memory, the Crusades, Tach V'tat. So people had to make decisions. People were given a choice. Will you convert to Christianity and save your life and spare your life, or will you refuse and we will kill you? I mean, that decision is not the same thing as tsarfam. Tsarfam means tsaros, poverty, sickness, things that come upon a person without choice. There is no free will. That also humbles a person's nature. But when a person then is given the choice to make a decision, and that decision rips his neshama apart, that also is a form of purification, but it's through the method of exercising free will. Ki eich eseh, and Hashem says, I have no choice. And this here we find a nechama. Always in the harshest words of Teichacha is it lined with words of nechama. Hashem says, I'm not going to give up on my people. It would be easy for me just to abandon them and let them fall to the side. I don't want to do that. I want them to be my people forever, but I have no choice other than to refine them and to test them. Ki eich eseh, or Hashem here is saying, what else could I possibly do mipnei on behalf bas ami of my people? Let's see those pasuk vav. Pasuk Vav says, Pasuk Vav. Tsarfam u vichantim. Kederach HaKesef, we are borrowing from the mashal of silver. Shetzarfim osa bikur, it's refined in a kiln. Lehasir hasig, to remove the impurities. V'livchoin HaKesef, and to test, or to purify. Okay, v'livchoin, to refine. What does the Mitzudo Sion say? He doesn't say anything. Okay, v'livchoin HaKesef, hatoiv hu imra. I think it means over here is to test it. It means he does mean to test. When you refine silver, then you will discover if it's really pure silver. When you put the silver, when you look at the silver from the outside, you can't really tell the quality. But when you put the silver in the furnace and then it begins to melt, then you can see exactly how much of it is.
You tell
how pure it is. Okay, atoyvim ra. I'm going to bring upon them punishment in order to remove from them the impurities of sin. I can't do nothing, Hashem says. If I let them just remain mired in sin, I cannot allow that. They are my assembly. It's befitting that they should be a holy nation. If I'm going to destroy them entirely, I can't do that. My mercy is upon them. Therefore, Hashem says, I have no choice, Hashem says, but to refine them, to purify them from sin. It's not an option to destroy them. It's not an option. They have to remain, and therefore I have no choice but to refine them. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi Pasik Vav says, Sinitzarfam b'yisurin, b'mnei ba'asami, min kodam choyvei kinishtodi Yisrael, because of their sins. I have no choice but to perfect them. He's quoting Targum, from because of their sins. Let's see the Radak. Pasik Vav l'chini mitzarfam b'tzorois, I'm going to refine them with tzoros, difficulties. I'm going to see if the impurities will remain. We'll see, do they become pure due to the difficulties? In other words, the difficulties can make or break. The difficulties, Rahman al-Islam, a person has Yisurin, that's where he makes a decision if he still wants to be part of this. One thing, right? To these two concepts, Sarfam, through the tsarais, then we'll see who is strong, who is sincere. Mitsudo seems to say possibly there are two separate things. I'm going to purify them, and then I'm going to test afterwards, after the purification process, to test is it the real deal or not? Is it pure or not? Okay, so or again, like Radak, it's one thing. Through the tzaros, there's going to be refined. There's going to be a test. Next, ki eich eseh mei basami, ki eich eseh shaloy atzarfein. What are my options? Hashem says, should I just let them do nothing? Bibnei shi basami lo yuchal shaloy atzarfein. Because they're my people, I cannot allow it to be that. I can't let it be. They'll do nothing. Ki eich anicham bir osam. How can I just leave them in their evil? Vehem nikuor mamid. They're my people. The Yonasan tier game. Let's take a look at the Yonasan pasuk vav. Let's see how he translates this pasuk. Pasuk vav b'chein. Therefore, kindan. So kindan means so. Omar Hashem tzivakoi. So says Hashem. Al ano ma'isi alehon oka. Because he. So says Hashem. Behold, I will bring upon them a tzara. Oka means a difficulty, vitzareif lohoin, and I will purify them, uvachar lohoin, and I will choose them. I think uvachar lohoin, he translates here as I will choose them. Uvachar, that's a different interpretation. After I will, Hashem will select us once again. He will renew his vows with us. Is that what it means? Maybe yeah, maybe not, I don't know. Array, because water. What do you have? You have Vachar?
No, I'm just saying that Pasuk. You read the Pasuk with Vachar instead of with Vachar.
Okay, but here he's translating uvochar lohoin, and in the translation he also translates uvoicher oisam. I will select them, choose them. Arei, what are my options? Hashem's arei echdein abed. What else can I do? Min kodam, because of choivei kinishta diami, due to the sins of my people, I have no choice but to deal with this issue. Pasuk Zayin is a very famous pasuk. Chetz shochut lishnam. Now we're going back to the sins of the Jewish people. We're describing lashon hara, and it says chetz shochut lishnam mirma diber. Their tongues are a sharp arrow. Okay, so we translate the words backwards. Lishnam, their tongues are, now chetz is an arrow, not just an ordinary arrow, an arrow that is shochut, that is sharp. Okay, we'll see the other translations in a moment. Mirma diber befiv. They speak, chetzach l'shon mirma diber kama. Mirma diber, and these sharp tongues speak deceit. Befiv, shaloim esrei eyu yidaberu. They're phonies. With their mouths, they speak peace to their fellow man. Uvikirbo, but inside yosim arbo, they plan to lie in ambush, to attack, and to take advantage of their friend. Okay, now this pasuk is, let's see the first the Mitzudos, how he translates the word shachut. If you look over here, the Mitzudos Sion, first he translates the word shachut to mean moshuch. I translate the word shachut to mean sharp. He translates shachut means it's a drawn arrow. In other words, you've taken the bow and arrow, you've pulled back on the string. The arrow is all ready to go. It's all ready, it's aimed, it's armed. It's armed and it's ready to go. Mitzudos pasuk zayin, chet shoch l'shoinam nidmel l'shoinam l'chetz hanimshoch, that has been pulled back al yeser hakeshes, on the string of the bow. Ki b'loshon hara, in other words, and then what? Now it has a connotation that it's been released after the arrow has been pulled back in order to gain force, power. You release it and it flies and it shoots and it's sent off to the great, to the far distance, and that's the koyach of loshon hara. Lashon hara can kill a person in the distance. Ki b'lashon hara hargim limrachoik k'moy chatzi hakeshes. Lashon hara is compared to an arrow. It's not compared to a sword. A sword can only do harm to a person that's in the vicinity, that's in the reach of the sword, whereas an arrow can do harm to a person that's even there, that's far away. Mirma diber kolech medaber mirma, each person speaks to sitki b'fiv diber yidaber shalom imre'ehu uvekerev libo yosim ma'orev olav. Achas bepev, achas belev. Rashi chet shach l'shona moshuch. Same thing as we said before, means it's been extended. Kimo zohav shochut. In describing the building of the Samidah, different types of gold. They make gold plates. You take gold and you bang the gold, and when you bang the gold, you cause the gold to spread. V'chein v'shachatos sheitim. They spread out. They spread out among themselves. Also, that those two words means they spread out. Lishnach we know lashon shchita mamish. Okay, the second interpretation means that shchit shachud means a death blow, an arrow that has succeeded in slaughter, has brought about death, and he translates the words from Chol. You have the translations to these words.
Yeah,
that's the
ray means to pulling, and the second explanation is chanchan, which means to cut or slaughter.
To cut or slaughter. V'chein chibroi menachem, v'chein tirgum yoinason kigir di michoreif. Targum yoinason ben uziel, he translates here in this pasuk. Pasuk, where we are, pasuk zayin. Let's see, kigir di michoreif l'shanon. Kichetz asher di michoreif means that a sharp lishanhon. Nichlin means trapping. Mechashe bepuma shalom gvar al chavre memalin uvemoohi meshave kimante. And inside a person's innards, he is preparing traps. So he translates the words, kigir is an arrow, di michoreif, which is sharp. Okay, the word micharef, like choref, someone who's sharp. So that's different translation, because you see, according to Rashi, Rashi translates it as shchita mamish. He translates it as slaughter, death. Then he says, v'chein chibur menachem, depends upon the sharpness. Okay, but it's not exactly the same translation. V'chein tirgim yoinason kigir, an arrow, di michoreith. That is sharp. That's not the same as Rashi.
It's always, right, there's that analogy of the tongue and the sharp arrow.
The sharp arrow.
The sharp tongue.
But Rashi, in this second interpretation, which he also says is supported by Menachem, says, Chet Shachud, an arrow which has succeeded in bringing death, slaughter. Okay, so it seems that we have a total of three interpretations. A Chet that's Moshuch, a Chet that is sharp, Mechoreif, and a Chet that has succeeded in bringing damage, and bringing the equivalent of death, is their tongue. All of this, of course, is used as a reference to Lashon Hara, Mirma Diberu, Mirma Diber, Befiv, and then it goes on to explain that there is Achas, the concept of Achas Bepev, the Achas Belev. Now, this Pasuk is a very important Pasuk, which is used in reference, first of all, there's a Medrash that explains the Kriv Achsev. Why is it spelled Shoichet, but yet pronounced Shochut? So we all know this famous Chazal that Medabrei Lashon Hara kill, they kill three people. They kill the person, the subject upon whom it is spoken. They kill the recipient. The person that's Mekabel Lashon Hara also suffers. And furthermore, it kills the speaker. The one that speaks Lashon Hara, he also suffers from the consequence. He also will suffer death from his actions. So the Medrash, that Medrash is built upon this Pasuk. It's spelled Shochut. Shochut means what it has succeeded. Shochut simply means the subject. The subject of the Lashon Hara has been Shochut. He has been slaughtered. He has been cut down. His reputation has been damaged. He has been harmed. But it's spelled Shoichet. Shoichet means the slaughterer as well, the one that spoke, the Shoichet, he's also a victim of this situation. Shoichet is the one that's doing the action. He also is part of the problem. Okay, now this pasuk is also used in reference to the laws of Shechita. This is there are many laws of Shechita which are based upon laws of Shechita, all halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. But many of the rules of Shechita are rooted in this pasuk. Shechita is a very interesting word we use in reference to ritual slaughter. Goyim, when they would take the life of an animal in ancient times, would do what's called nechira. Today, they have all these high-tech ideas of how to take the animal. I think it's common they stun the animal, they electrocute the animal. Right? I think that's the common way today animals are killed. To the brain. To the brain, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of gun? Electric. They give an electric shock to the brain, and that takes the life of the animal.
I don't know if it's an electric shock. It's just a bang. It's like a staple gun.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Is that more humane than Shechita? Well, they claim it is. But Chazal, we have a tradition that the least form of pain to the animal, the most humane form of Misa for the animal is through Shechita. It appears even the Goyim acknowledge this to be true, and that's why when they killed the animal, they did Nechira. Now, Nechira in ancient times, when you kill the animal vertically, on the neck, instead of cutting the neck, like we cut the neck horizontally, they cut the neck, they slit the neck's throat vertically. And that caused the blood to come out of the neck and the animal died. That's called Nechira. So it was their custom to kill the animal in the same fashion, but not with a horizontal cut. So Chazal say, no, you don't do Nechira, you have to do Shechita. What is Shechita? So Chazal, Ein Shechita Ela L'Shoy Meshicha. Meshicha means to draw, is the way the knife should be extended upon the neck of the animal, should be in a motion of Meshicha, which means a horizontal action. And this, it comes from this pasuk. Since here it says Chet Shachut L'Shoinam, and in this context we're dealing with an arrow, and an arrow, when you put along the bow and the string, you pull back your Moshech. So again, I'm not familiar with all the concepts of dealing with an animal. When you have an option of taking the life of an animal with a motion going in this direction or a motion going in this direction, from this pasuk we learn, when we compare it to the animal, the motion the slaughterer should use to take the life of the animal is a pulling motion, a being moshech, which translates into the way that we do shchita b'zman hazeh. What? Halacha v'havah, going back and forth. Right, mechadami, going back and forth. That's the type of action. Okay, that is one chazal. And there's another chazal that, just like when it comes to an arrow brings death, it's the golui. It's in the place that is in the open. It's because when you're using a weapon, the arrow takes life of the person in an open area on his body. So too, the shechita has to be done on a part where it's exposed. And the part of the animal that is the most exposed, according to Chazal, is the neck of the animal. According to Chazal, if not for the halacha of Moshe Sinai, it's not so clear where the makom shul should be. It's very good. You have to do a moving motion with a very sharp knife. Who says that has to be done on the neck? Maybe it should be done to the brain. Maybe it should be done to the leg, to the thigh. There are some very large arteries and veins along the leg of the animal. We know that if you cut the animal in that area, the animal will bleed out. So how do we know that the shechita is done along the area of the neck? It's also derived from this pasuk. Just like the arrow, when it kills a person, it kills it in an area that is megula, that is exposed. So too, the shechita has to be done to the animal, the part of the animal which is the most exposed. And what part of the animal is that? Chazal's understanding of that is the neck. Obviously, you need more details to understand the full scope, the full depth of these Mamari Chazal. But I just want to point out that over here, from this pasuk, we already discussed Lashon Hara. It kills the Medaber. That's why it's called Shechet. It's also the source of two halachos and the laws of Shechita, that it should be done, two different independent Mamari Chazal, it should be done on the neck, not on the leg area, the thigh area, or not on the head area. And it has to be done in a pulling motion. In a pulling motion, which we interpret in a horizontal motion and not a vertical motion. On a vertical motion, you can't do it, but it's not called Mashiach. When the animal's lying along the neck, back and forth is Mashiach. Okay, also, there's one of the other machshava that I remember, I wanted to just share with you briefly, in regard to Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach begins with a very unusual word. Mishchu Ukuchuluchem tzon v'shochatu ha-posach. Mishru means to withdraw and slaughter v'shochatu ha-posach. It's interesting that the word v'shochatu, we have just concluded, means ein v'shochat ela loshayn moshach. And here in these two words, in this pasuk, you have like ein miyut achar miyut elo l'rabos. You have over here two different words. You have over here mishru lochem tzon, draw out a sheep, and then take that sheep v'shachatu and slaughter. So there are different ideas to explain the significance in these two words. But Chazal explained that the word mashru means mashru yideihem min ha'avodah zara. Simply means go to the backyard among your flock of sheep, pull out, withdraw an animal, a sheep, and designate it as your Karban Pesach, and slaughter it. But Chazal have a deeper interpretation. It means withdraw yourself from Avodah Zarah. The Seh was the idol of the Egyptians. Mishru, stop it, enough of this, withdraw. Remove yourself from worshipping Avodah Zarah and instead take this Karban Pesach, v'shochatu, and slaughter the Karban Pesach. Now, using this idea, this is a machshav, this is a drush, this is not pshat, this is not halacha, but there's a well-known machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban as to the purpose of bringing a Karban. Is the purpose of bringing a carbon an outlet, a kosher outlet for a need to worship idols? That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Klal Yisrael, what do you want from them? They were worshipping idols for all of these years, 210 years, for eight, whatever it was. They were over there with the Zara. You just can't tell them to stop worshipping idols. So the solution is, give them a permissible form of worship. Instead of offering the animal to an Avodah Zarah, offer the animal to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the Shita of the Rambam and Mori Nevuchim. Rambam, obviously, by making such a statement, created an enormous controversy, because is that how you look at the Torah? Everything in the Torah is just the response to Avodah Zarah of the times. Torah doesn't have much greater significance, much greater value. So the Ramban strongly disagrees, and he explains the purpose of bringing the carbon is to come close to Hashem. When you bring the carbon, you have to imagine that really we deserve to give up our lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this animal is going to be the replacement for man. And the proof is, Adam HaRishon, we have a tradition, offered carbonos, Noah offered carbonos, and when Adam offered carbonos and Noah offered carbonos, there was no such thing at that time as a Avodah Zarah. So therefore, obviously it says, Bayerech Hashem Shriach HaMichoyach, has to be that korbanos have more than just a rejection, a kosher out of the man's needs to worship idols.
But the Rambam is not necessarily the exclusion of the Rambam's
idol. And the Hanami, so you want to say Elu v'Elu divrei kimchai, and they're just different dimensions of the same mitzvah. So that's exactly what I want to come to. We are know that in L'msech v'Zachem there are four parts to a korban. What are the four parts to the avodah of a korban? There is Shlita. Then there is Kabbalah, you accept the blood. And then there is Halacha, you walk to the Mizbeach, and there is Zerika. Every carbon has four parts. Each one of these four parts is essential. If you leave out a part, you do the Romach Shalom, the carbon is possible. Based upon what we've just learned, we can say that Elu v'Elu Divri Elokim Chayim. In the carbon, the act of Shechita is the act of rejecting Avodah Zarah. The act of Kabbalah, Hoylocha, and Zrika is like the Ramban, is the part of the carbon where you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know that? Because Ein V'Shochat, here's the key point, Ein V'Shochat Ela L'Shoin U'Moshach. Rashi here, Shochat means U'Moshach. What does Moshach mean? Well, the very first carbon in Klal Yisrael begins with the word Mishchu ukuchuluchem Pesach ukuchuluchem Tzon v'shochatu haPesach. And how did Chazal translate the very first word in the opening pasuk of the first carbon for Klal Yisrael? Mishchu yedehem min haAvodah Zarah. Withdraw your hands from Avodah Zarah. That's the first carbon. We have to emphasize, that's the first carbon for Klal Yisrael, carbon Pesach. And the first word of instruction, of preparation for this carbon, is the word U'moshach, Mishchu, which Chazal interprets, reject Avodah Zarah. Isn't it a coincidence that every carbon, the word that's used for a carbon is Shechita? Shechita, not Nechira. The word Shechita is a holy word. Chazal even give the word Shechita significance when you slaughter Besar Chulin, when you eat meat that's not even a carbon, it's done with the Shechita. Shechita really is a term that's taken from carbonos. Every time we eat a piece of meat today, God's gone through Shechita, it's an outgrowth of a carbon. It's not a carbon, of course, Shechut Echutz, but the laws are all taken from carbonos. And what is the word V'shachat? Ein V'shachat Ela Moshach. And what is Moshach? Mishri dechem min Avodah Zarah. Who's the one who says this? The Rambam says this. The Rambam says every time you bring a carbon, you are rejecting Avodah Zarah. But how could that be? But what about the holy nature of carbonos from the Ramban? Ein achinami. It's only the Shechita. Then there is the Kabbalah Sadan. Then there's the Hoylocha. And then there is the Zrika. Those elements of taking the blood and bringing the blood close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents the Hiskarvus of man to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
How would you apply that today? We don't worship idols. I think most of us feel would be revolted to put a pitcher under an ox's throat and get the blood. I mean, like today,
you're asking a question that has no answer.
There are different types of deserving.
I know, but it's always supposed to be for a while.
We don't know. You're asking a very tough question. You're not the only one to ask a question. This is a very common question. I mean, modern time, we're revolted at the sight of blood. To go take it out and throw in the country of blood, and what is it all about? I do not know. The Yetzer for Avodah Zarah was bottled upon by Hashem. So obviously, in that Yetzer Hara lies the real meaning of what it means to bring a karbon. We are blind. We don't have any hasaga what these things are. Okay. All right, I think we're out of time, so we'll stop over here.
Well, Grace, I have the architect tomorrow for my mother, but I figured that today's Yom Tov, you'll enjoy it.
Are they red, white, and blue?
I am now red, white.
Thank you for the pictures. I didn't get a chance to look at them, okay?
You do the selection.